Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a good day.
Yes, sir.
Turn to chapter 12 of the book of John, in the last verses, beginning about verse 46. Verse 46 of John chapter 12. Verse 46, John chapter 12. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Look at this. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him. Here's your judgment.
Amen.
Here's your judgment. That's what you're going to meet. This word is lasting. It's lasted up to here through all sorts of battles, and it's going to last us all the way out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So I know that his commandment is life, everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The word, the Bible, the eyewitness testimony, believe it. Believe it.
Amen.
I told you to look at David's words. That David was not just a king. He was a musician. He was a poet. He was a prophet. And if you look at Psalm 22, I'll show you one of the Psalms of David. There are about half of the Psalms, about 75 Psalms or so, have it in the Bible written, this is a Psalm of David. Now, I think Spurgeon thought that there were a lot of them that didn't have his name that were also written by David. And so he called the Psalms the Book of David. And he had the only commentary that Spurgeon ever authored was the Treasury of David. And that's the study of the 150 Psalms. And it's one of the best studies you can get on any psalm that you want to find. He used his students in his college to hunt up everybody on different psalms and read different preachers and whatever they had. And he wrote down what he thought was the important information. So the Treasury of David is a vast store of knowledge and blessing in a commentary on the Psalms. Master David, look at Psalm 22. If you follow along with me, and I'll point out some verses to you. Now, what I'm saying is David is a prophet. He's not just a great king. He's not just a valiant soldier. He's not just the giant killer. He is a prophet. And he sings these prophecies. He's a musician. He was an inventor of musical instruments. And he was a writer of many, many of the Psalms. I'm sort of like with Spurgeon's view. I believe most of them are his. And I enjoy the Psalms. You do too. You ever heard of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's David. You ever heard of Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth. Wow. That's David. And Psalm 22. He not only was a great musician and a great songwriter and a great worshiper of God, he was also a prophet. Now I want you to notice Psalm 22 is what we call a messianic psalm. It is a psalm that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his death. Here he is, and you're going to find many of the words that Jesus uses in the four Gospels that come from this psalm right here. They were predicted 1,000 years before they happened. How about that? Isaiah was 700 years before Christ. David is right around 1,000 years before Christ. Wow. You reckon you ought to read your Bible with a little more interest every once in a while?
Amen.
You might ought to say, well, some of these things are boring and I can't pronounce the names that are there, but maybe I ought to look and see what it says.
Amen.
Because you're going to be judged by it.
Amen.
Wow. Look at verse 1, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not. In the night season, am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Wow. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You read that in the New Testament. Coming out of the mouth of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Here it is 1,000 years before and out coming out of the mouth of David. Look at verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. He was not only up there dying in one of the most miserable ways to die, actually. He's being made fun of by the people. He saved others. Let him save himself. Hey, wait, let's see. See if some angels come and deliver him, you know. All they see me laugh me to scorn. Then in verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in them. If this man can raise the dead, why don't you come down from the cross? There was a lot of mocking. And that's what he endured. And here's David saying it before, they laughed me to scorn. Verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. And let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in them. I was cast, verse 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. I would have wanted to call 72 angels. I'd wipe out the whole bunch, wouldn't you? But you're not Christ. You're not Christ. He had a purpose in coming that first time. He had a purpose in giving his life. I'm saved today because he stayed on the cross.
Amen.
I'm saved today because he obeyed God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm saved today. Praise God.
Amen.
David's words written 3,000 years ago are still blessing people.
Amen.
Look down to verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. He was there all by himself. He was there. You know, we think of horsepower. We judge even our cars today and our airplanes and a lot of other things on horsepower. How about bull power? That might even be stronger than horsepower, to tell you the truth. Many bulls have compassion. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs, now it's not just bulls, it's dogs. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. You ever heard of that? Isn't that in the New Testament?
Amen.
They pierced my hands and my feet. They didn't do that to everybody that got crucified. They did it to some and they did it to Jesus. And here it is, 1,000 years before he walked the face of the earth, they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones. By that means he's saying no bones broken. They look and stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Did you ever read that in the New Testament? Here it is 1,000 years before. Now, I don't believe anybody could have read this and understood what he's saying back in his day. But God Almighty was preparing it to give you a proof that you can read and trust the Bible. This is what I'm going to be judged by. This is what you're going to be judged by. But let me tell you something. Jesus died for me.
Yes,
He's already paid for my sins, even the ones I haven't committed.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God for a salvation that's a gift, not a reward. Not a reward. It's a gift by the grace of God. Verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him. Look at verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Amen. You realize here a 33-year-old preacher, rabbi, prophet, whatever, 3,000 years ago, paid the perfect sacrifice. All the ends of the world. How many people have turned to Christ? And if you actually understood Christianity, that it's not a reward for your great service to the Lord and your great repentance to the Lord and your great life for the Lord. God has rewards, yes, and service, but salvation is not one of them. Salvation is a gift bought on the cross of Calvary. Proved by the resurrection from the dead. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Christianity is around the world today. This is the most published book ever written. And it's going language after language, and you got missionaries, some of them we supported. They were translating it into tribes' language so that they could have Christ as their Savior. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. All that get saved, praise God, is going to be counted people of God. That's the people of God there. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. That's what I've been doing now for about 65 years. I've been declaring his righteousness. And I've seen a few people actually decide they'll take that righteousness. Praise God, they heard it. They understood it. They said, wow, is that me? I've been to people who committed such crimes that they say, God can't forgive me. Oh, yes, he can. He made it that way. He didn't make it where good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven.
Amen.
You better get saved. You better figure it out. You better figure out what the Spirit of God is trying to teach you, what the Word of God is declaring over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 51, if you will, if you want to turn there. Hey, by the way, a Psalm of David. Another Psalm of David, Psalm 51. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Do you realize 3,000 years ago, David understood some what we call New Testament doctrine that God Almighty is interested in the heart. He's interested in what's in your mind and in your heart and what you think. Have you really realized when you look at the love commandments, I said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and everything else. And I shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you realize how far short you fall?
Yes.
Every time I read it, it brings a conviction of sin. I've heard people say, yeah, I love the Lord with all my heart. I haven't met anybody that way. Maybe you have. They're not understanding what's going on there. If the Ten Commandments brings a conviction to you, and they should, then those two or three commandments about love ought to wipe you out. If you don't love anybody that much, And that proves you're a sinner.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
If you could just be convinced of that, you might be ready to follow a Savior.
Amen.
I acknowledge my transgressions. My sins are ever before me, and against thee only have I sinned. But look down at verse 6. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. It's not the sacrifice of the goat or the bull. It's not the sacrifice of money that you might give. It's not the sacrifice of time and treasure and effort and whatever. No, 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 no. God wants it in the inside. Desires truth in the inward parts. Look at verse 7. This is David. This is 3,000 years ago. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Wow. 3,000 years ago, David is asking that the Spirit of God that comes and goes in that time, you got it when you got saved. The Spirit of God came in to every saved one of you and saved you for all eternity. Changed your heart, changed your life. Why don't you surrender to Him? You need to surrender to Him.
Amen.
Created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That's verse 10. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
Wow. I'm so thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the instruction of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the strength of the Holy Spirit. And it's in me forever. I'm not going to get eternal life. I have eternal life.
Amen.
And eternal life is a life that never ends. You couldn't lose it if you tried to. And some of you probably have tried to. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Look down to verse 16. Thou desirest not sacrifice. Whoa! This is 3,000 years ago. David is a Jewish king. He gathers all the wealth of all of his conquerings in war and gives it to his son to build a temple to offer sacrifices to God. Yet here he is. What does he know in his heart? Thou desirest not sacrifice. Else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Yes, that was a religion teaching them how to reach God and bringing these prophets into a Bible that can be read by the whole world. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. That sounds like the New Testament. He's a prophet. Look at verse 17. What are the sacrifices of God? God wants your money today? Hey, you can give your money and you can get some credit for giving your money. Praise God. You ought to give your money. You stand your people. Actually, you are a very giving church. One of our missionaries pointed out the last mission conference that $600 a day goes out of this little church to foreign missions. Wow. Wow, that's something. I praise the Lord for that. That's great. What are the sacrifices of God? A broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is enlightenment. This man was enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. God moved with him. God was close to him. He trusted in God. That's why his sin with Bathsheba is so great a sin. He knew God as few people knew God in those days. Look at verse 8. Look at Psalm 8. Psalm 8:1. It's a Psalm of David. Look at verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You ever thought about that? In all of that vastness, that's big stuff to me. Wow. You and I are living in an age of discovery, of invention, of great comfort. Many, many blessings. They just astound me. They just shock me. I don't know how much more we don't know about God, but what I've learned, He's awful big. He's awful powerful. And bless your heart, He knows everything. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is God messing around with a bunch of worms like us? That's a love beyond my comprehension. I love some of you. I'm just like you. I don't love all of you all the way I should. I don't love God enough either. Oh, I love the Lord the God with all my heart and with all my soul. Well, what about your wife? What about your kids? What about your car? What about your deer rifle? How about your fishing boat? How much you love God? Well, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, wow. You mean God spread that out up there by just his fingertips? Yeah. He spoke it into existence. Yeah. Yes, he did. Wow. Thou hast made man. He is mindful of man. He made us a little lower than the angels, verse 5. Verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Wow, we've got dominion over electricity and air conditioning and manufacturing and wow, in the age you live. You realize how really short that is? My daddy started out in horse and buggy days. He lived into the 70s when we planted a flag on the moon. Wow. All of those centuries before, none of that stuff happened. We're in the age of discovery, the age of invention. Tremendous light we've got. Look down at Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the star, what is man? I'm thankful God loved me enough to want to save me.
Amen.
I'm thankful God loved me enough to make me happy.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God loved me enough to change me.
Amen.
And gave us dominion. I like that car I drive out there. I'm dreading the day when I won't be able to drive anymore, but, you know, I'm getting there. I understand. You made him to have dominion over the works of his hands, and you put all things under his feet. We got human little people, not even weighing 200 pounds, out here commanding whales. And the whales obey them. We've got guys that can have tigers and lions inside a cage and be in there with them, and they obey them. Some people have snakes. Isn't that something? Wow. Everything has been tamed and can be tamed if you have the right knowledge of it. Psalm 16 of David, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. What are you trusting in? Well, if you're trusting Joe Biden and the government, I think you're trusting in a foolish thing. If you're trusting in our great army, I think you're trusting a foolish thing. If we're trusting in your great wisdom to know what to do and all the answers, you got all the answers about the finances today, I think you're trusting in the wrong thing. I don't think you have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow, and I certainly don't. I used to tell a joke all the time. Want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Oh God, in thee do I put my trust. Look at verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, my cup, thou maintainest my lot. I'm not looking forward to a mansion. I couldn't care less. I'm not looking forward to using gold as pavement. I couldn't care less. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance.
Amen.
And you ought to be there with me.
Amen.
The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And look at verse 6. The lions are falling to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That's 3,000 years ago. How many million of people have rejoiced in these words of this prophet we got in the Bible? Have you ever read Psalm 19? Some of you ought to. Wow. This is David. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It speaks every language. Creation speaks every language. Everybody ought to be able to say there is a God. Wow. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. And then he comes down to verse 7. The law of the Lord converts the soul. It's perfect. Down in verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. 3,000 years ago. King David. That's why his sin is so bad. He had such much greater insight into the character of God and what God wanted. One of the first things that I remember as a kid being taught, and one of the first things that I've seen in most funerals that I've been to, is the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
Did you know that's David? That's the prophet David. That's the sweet singer of Israel, David. That's the giant killer, David. What does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Man at the people that wanted to kill David. Man of war. He had to fight all of his life. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's 3,000 years ago. A Hebrew king in Jerusalem wrote that. And it's one of the most blessed scriptures there is in the Bible. Wow. They put it on Bible markers. They put it all sorts of places. You ought to know it. Wow. I tell you what. Look at Psalm 32. Give you another little insight into this prophet David. Chapter 32 of the Psalms, if you have a Bible that names them, they'll tell you it's a Psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Are you blessed? I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I'm any good. I'm not blessed because I preach the gospel. I'm not blessed because I've been faithful. I'm not blessed for a lot of reasons. Wow. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, I want you to look at verse 2, because that is an amazing verse. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. A lot of people think about, well, you can lose your salvation. Yeah, if you just don't, you sin sometimes after you've been saved, and they think they're walking around. man came right witnessing to my sister's house. My sister was a sweet Christian, very knowledgeable about the Bible. She studied it regularly. And beautiful musician and singer. And she was talking to this man at the door. And he's trying to get her to go with his doctrine. And my sister was knowledgeable about the gospel. And he asked if she were a sinner, and she said, yes, she was. She asked him if he was a sinner. He said, no, he wasn't. He hadn't sinned in 20 years. She said, you just did. You told a lie. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Are you blessed?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm blessed. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't earn it. I can't pay it back. There's nothing I can do but thank God for it.
Amen.
Wow. I think David was a prophet. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. How did God save me? And how did God save you? Jesus died in your place. And if you take him as your Savior, his righteousness is on your account. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid my debt. And then God, by that, came into my heart. I didn't understand all that was happening to me. I didn't understand how my mind could change so much from being a squirt, a jerk, whatever. The Holy Spirit came into me. And he guided me.
Amen.
I quit reading the books I was reading. I started reading other books. I started reading the Bible. I threw away my camels after smoking them since I was 5 years old. And I put a New Testament in my pocket. And every time I had a nicotine fit, I'd say, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. And I'd take it out and read and pray. It was about the thickness of that finger when I first got that New Testament, and about the time I got through with it, it was about that thong. It had grease all over it, oil, dirt, smudged, but it was used. It blessed my heart. These words came into my mind and into my heart, and they changed me. I've never been the same. And I was amazed at the change that come over my thinking. Wow. Made me a better husband and a better father and a better friend and a better worker and a better preacher. Look at verse 5. Psalm 32:5. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest by the iniquity of my sin. See that little word, Selah? I actually think it's a musical term. Probably tells you they shout here or they blow the trumpets here or whatever. But that's the time to blow trumpets. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Hallelujah! Amen. Blow the trumpets.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Where do you run when trouble comes? Run to Jesus.
Amen.
Run to Jesus. Look at verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Do you think David understood some things about God? I believe he did. Psalm 39, verse 4, start with. I'm 85 years old, almost 85 and a half, I guess I am. I'm already still living longer than most people. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. I remember as a young man, I was strong. And I did not feel frail. And I didn't walk around with a lot of fear. But you know, now that I look at it, I see all the things that little bitty diseases can get from your finger to your mouth, or from your dog to your mouth, or from the ground and whatever you have, or from a door that you open, and they can kill you. I've lived long enough to see some of my friends die at 50. My brother-in-law died at 50. One of my cousins died at 50. Two of my cousins died about 50. I got to thinking when I was a young man, 50 was a pretty bad age. And here I am, 85. Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's not very big. Handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Have you ever even given thought to eternity? God is eternal. We don't know of any beginning. And there's not going to be any end. What is 70 years? What is 100 years? What is 200 or 300 years? Nothing in comparison to God.
Amen.
And to you if you're saved. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Quit bragging on yourself. You're not that much. You just think you are.
Amen.
It makes you feel good to think you're so good.
Amen.
Makes you think you're pretty so because you're just so pretty. Hey, it goes away in nothing flat, believe me.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing to buy something new and you think you're so proud of it, you just got it set up on the shelf or set in the middle of the living room and you all walk around it, you know. You got all something real new. It ain't long, it's in the garage. Every man, you reckon that includes you? I bet we could include women in there too. Every man and woman at your very best state, at your most beautiful, at your strength. Wow. Have a strong life. I've had a strong body. I thank God for it. Lasts this long. But hey, it's passing away pretty quick. I don't know about you, but man, I'm failing fast. My hope is in thee, verse 7. My hope is in thee. Why? Because every man at his best state is altogether vanity.
Amen.
Psalm of David. Think he was a prophet? Look down at verse 11. He says it again. Surely every man is vanity. Now look at Psalm 51. I don't have but a few minutes more, but Psalm 51, Psalm of David, tells you it's a psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. He's not praying for justice. He's not praying to recognize his gifts. He's asking for mercy. I think that's wise. In my mind and the way I read the New Testament, wow. That's a place you ought to go. Don't go up before God. I remember I had a couple of incidents with my two boys. And they shook me to the core. Eddie got spinal meningitis and he was just blabbering. Couldn't walk, didn't do anything. Doctors told us there was nothing they could do. Nothing they could do except try to keep him comfortable. He was in the hospital for a good while. And my brother and I went to the library and studied everything we could on that. And I just prayed and I said, Lord, I don't have a right to have my child live when other people are dying all around. I don't have a right to claim anything from you, but I ask you for mercy. I ask you to heal my son. Let him not be weak. Let him not be damaged. Let him not be hurt. A few days, Eddie woke up. He knew everything that was going on around him all the time. Understood us. He would try to talk to us. It was gibberish. Same year. Billy, my stubborn. You wouldn't think he's stubborn? Oh, he's been picking on me here lately. I'm picking back. He wants to make hydrogen gas. Wow. He's got a chemist class or something like that. Somebody inspired him. And he's going to do it in my garage. And I said, no, you're not going to do it in my garage. No, you're not going to do this. This is dangerous. Well, as he normally did, he went and did it anyway. Not in my garage. He was obedient there. But he and a friend are in the front yard with a garden hose, messing with lye and aluminum to make hydrogen gas to blow up balloons. And something happened and it went into his eyes. He come in, he run into the house. I'm sitting watching television. He went into the bathroom and he started washing out his eyes. And I thought, I got to look and see, well, what in the world? I didn't know, no clue. And then he told me what happened. And so I said, Verlene, call the doctor. And I picked him up and took him to the Methodist. They had a eye doctor, Jewish eye doctor, that had been practicing 34 years. He said he saw this every week of his life. He dealt with people that had things like that in their eyes. I said, how long will it take? Now, Billy had clouds, white clouds, like the cumulus clouds yesterday, white clouds right over his both eyes. And I asked that doctor, how long will it be till that scar tissue goes away? He said, I have never seen it go away, and I see it every week. We took him home and put him in the bed. I said, Lord, I don't have the right to have a son that sees any more than anybody else, any other Christian. Have mercy. I put him in your hands. About 10 days later, I guess it was, or some days later, they took that thing off of his face and off his eyes. You can look at his eyes right now. There's not a scar there. That's the grace of God. That's a miracle. Boy, you think I didn't thank God? Yes, I did. I'm still thanking God. That's what I'm telling you to. I thank God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. But what is it according? His loving kindness. God is merciful. God has loving kindness. How about the multitude of thy tender mercies? Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Wow. You better get back to this book.
Amen.
What are we going to be judged by? John chapter 12. Jesus said, my word. God bless you.